I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Ione.
And hello to the listeners, in particular, hello to Grace, who left a lovely review saying, I love this podcast, super engaging and important conversations. Love heart. Thank you, Grace.
Thanks, Grace.
But for now, welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ione, and I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Polyester Online, in print, and everywhere else.
And I'm Olivia, the co-host, producer, and editor of the podcast. We publish weekly episodes of The Sleepover Club 1 week and Obsessions the next.
This week is the Obsessions episode, where Olivia and I talk to a person we admire about something they're obsessed with that has nothing to do with how they generate their income.
And next week, it's a sleepover club where Ione and I have all those gorge conversations you'd usually have at a sleepover with your girl mates. And it's lovely. Failed off at the end there, could you tell?
It is lovely. But today is not a sleepover club. Today is Obsessions. So, and also, before we get started, thank you for all of your lovely feedback on last week's episode with Tavi. We've had loads of messages and people tagging us and stuff and all of that kind of stuff, which was very cute. We also got included in someone's newsletter,
which was gorgeous. It's so nice.
So nice.
Especially when you're talking about self-care, because obviously the episode was really nice, but sometimes when you talk about self-care, you're like, I just want everyone to be okay and I don't know how. And So it was really nice to hear some nice feedback and be nice that week. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, defo. So what have we got today, Olivia?
Today we have Julia Armfield, which was a recommendation of mine because she, not last year, the year before, published in hardback a collection of short stories called Salt Slow. And I love short stories, of course. And I am obsessed with sleep. And she wrote a great short story called The Great Awake. But I don't want to do any spoilers, but it's like one of the best collection of short stories I've read ever.
Yeah, everyone bloody loves it.
Yeah, it's bloody brilliant. She's a great girl. And I've like bought it for so many people as a gift. I know now that it's out in paperback because I bought it for my friend's birthday. I've just got a new housemate and I bought it for her before That's she nice. Moved in. I was like, you can't live with that. Wasn't really like,
you are not allowed in this house unless you have read this book. And Julia is talking to us about shark movies.
Yeah, which is just great when you're like, oh yeah, we do obsessions. People have some interested obsessions. Shark movies, for example.
Yeah, love it, love it. The more niche ones are great. And plus also someone who feels like they've very much completed Netflix, Amazon Prime, Now TV,
completed like
a streaming like platform in the world. It's good to get some new trash recommendations. Yeah, so here is the interview.
Hi.
Hi, Julia.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, good. You know, as good as I think any of us can actually be in this situation right now. But, you know, just, you know, keeping awake is the main thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Not taking three naps a day is the best we can do in these circumstances. So today, your obsession is shark movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you want to kind of like talk us through where this obsession began, I suppose.
Oh, I couldn't necessarily tell you when it began, except that I remember very, very vividly when I was 12, seeing Jaws for the very first time at my friend's living room, it being entirely an inappropriate movie for a 12-year-old. it wasn't even the whole movie. It was the bit where, like, right at the end when he gets bitten in half by a shark.
Oh, my God.
I just remember that imprinting on myself, on me, in a very, very, very disturbing way, whereby I was like, oh, that's horrifying. And then, like, I have to go and watch the rest of the movie entirely.
Why were you showing just a clip of it? just because that was like the most horrible bit.
No, it was just on TV, I think, at the time, but we turned it on and then sort of couldn't get up again because we were all slightly horrified, tiny children. But apparently that was actually the case. When Jaws actually came out, it was given like a ridiculously low rating, and so tons and tons of children at the time that it actually went out were just completely traumatized for a generation.
Wow.
But yeah, and so after that I had to go and see the whole film immediately, and then it just became an ongoing problem throughout my life.
A problem? So why did you describe it as a problem?
Because every so often when you're trying to be like, I'm a really serious person, but also, have you ever heard of this movie called Ghost Shark? It's
wow! I literally have never heard of Ghost Shark. It sounds amazing.
You should really watch Ghost Shark. It has absolutely no redeeming features whatsoever, except that it's a ghost shark that can appear in like any body of water at all. So it appears in like a glass or in like a slip and slide.
A glass?
Yeah, and like eats a child. It's great. It's just so good.
So are you actually scared of sharks?
No, I'm not at all, actually. It's terrible. My girlfriend is consistently like, when we see sort of like something on a nature documentary or on the news or something about like somebody talking about a dangerous shark, and I'll be like, he's just doing what he should be doing. He's very misunderstood. So I think they're excellent. I would love to swim with a shark. Not, I say this as someone incredibly blasé who's never ever met one, but you know, I just
yeah. Izzy, who is our podcast assistant, who's here but silent on this call, was very insistent that we had to make sure we put across that sharks are not bad creatures. They're just deeply misunderstood.
They are not bad dudes at all. They did nothing wrong.
I don't know, Julia, maybe you don't know if this is true or not, maybe I should Google it. But I seem to remember someone telling me that, you know, in the is it the first Jaws film where someone's like crawling on the beach or gets pulled in? Apparently the harness that they were wearing when they were filming it broke the person's ribs.
Oh my God.
So they're actually screaming in terror. God, I shouldn't laugh. It's Ione's face. It's obviously not a funny thing.
I can't remember. That can't be Jaws 1. I'm trying to remember which one that is, but that's horrendous. I think I love everything about the making of the original Jaws movie, because as I'm sure you have read, because it gets written over and over again, the entire thing was a mess and they were like 100 days over schedule and however many million pounds over budget because the fake shark was just not working at all. But the whole thing then became like, because the mechanical shark did not work, they had to do the entire thing became kind of about suggestion and about what you couldn't see, and it became like this weird sort of almost like black and white horror movie in a different way, because it was all entirely just what wasn't going on. And I think it's a much stronger movie for that, actually.
Well, that's always much more scary, isn't it? Like, I always find like monster films or horror films, unless it's an actual person, like, I hate it when you're watching a horror film and then you finally see who it is or what it is inflicting the terror, and it's like an absolutely weird monster that would never exist, and you're just like, okay, great.
I think it's also that's the reason I think that people like shark movies quite a lot, because they do such insane good business, where like The Meg, or like that one with Blake Lively, or the one with Mandy Moore, all of which do like insane good business. And I think it's because people are scared of sharks. Like, it's sort of, you can't necessarily convince me that everybody is scared of a giant lizard, or that they will necessarily like buy into a giant lizard, but most people are at least like, okay, sharks exist. And I don't know, I think that's why they're so effective.
It's also like your vision's completely clouded, isn't it? By, well, essentially water.
Yeah.
So like, you can't really know what's going on.
It was a really bad movie that I've unfortunately watched upwards of about 3 times now recently with Kristen Stewart.
3 times?
Yeah, I know. But it was like, it had Kristen Stewart in it, and it was called Underwater. And it's basically just about like monsters in the Mariana Trench, and you cannot see anything. It's like the whole thing is like, okay, well, it's underwater, so it's dark. I'm like, yeah, that's fair, but you have to make a movie at the same time as attempting to be realistic. It's, oh
right.
My God.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart always disappoints me, because I love her so much, but she always makes so many bad decisions.
That's how I feel about myself. Like, I love you so much, but you make so many bad decisions.
Yeah, but at least you're not playing like Princess Diana in a forthcoming movie the way that Kristen Stewart
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
That's the strangest piece of news I've ever. I love her. She's terrible.
So as a connoisseur of shark films, what would you say makes a good shark film? Like, what are the beats you need to hit?
It's weird. Like, this is a bit sad, but Stephen King says that like horror always has a slightly puritanical streak. And I see that in good shark movies so much, whereby it's always this like weird morality tale, whereby like what you do on the shore becomes like, it translates to what happens to you in the water. And so it's not that I necessarily like watching people getting punished, but I love that in a shark movie when it's always like, you're in a tank somewhere and suddenly it turns out that actually you've been like sleeping with your best friend's husband and that's the reason that the shark is going to get you. And I always thought it's just like really bizarrely cathartic. Like it was really odd in the original Jaws book, which is no good at all, the Hooper, who's the guy played by Richard Dreyfuss, he has an affair with Chief Brody's wife and he eventually gets killed. Spoilers, but the book is from the 70s. Whereas in the movie, that doesn't happen because he doesn't have an affair with the wife. And it's just, it's interesting the way things balance. But yeah, so aside from that, morality tale, really big shark, Jason Statham helps. And yeah, I don't know. I just love them. They're so good.
Have you seen Sharknado?
I actually haven't, which makes me an absolute...
It's like the... I've seen one and two. That's all I'm saying. There's a chainsaw scene.
What do you think? There's a chainsaw scene.
Yeah, you know, the main premise for those who can't imagine what a Sharknado is that there's like a severe weather situation and the sharks end up in a tornado and then they're like... on land, but also they're like, so you're, it's like a tornado film and a shark film at the same time.
Yeah.
But how do the sharks survive?
That's a very good
like
point.
A flood, everywhere gets flooded. And so, but they also just like, they just come out of the tornado and just get people like midair.
Wow.
Or people get taken into the tornado.
And it's got like Tara Reid in it, right?
Essentially, yeah.
Love it.
And a love story between, from what I can remember, a girl who works in a beach house who's going for this guy who ends up being Tara Reid's ex-husband. And then she's like, oh no, I'm actually not attracted to you. I'm going to go out with your son instead. It's, you know, it's a film you'd watch on a Sunday with a hangover, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll watch that and you watch Ghost Shark. Yeah. And then we can
get there. So like, would you consider kind of your obsession with shark films to be a guilty pleasure, or do you just really earnestly love them?
Oh, I really earnestly love them, definitely. And I would argue that you can't really consider liking Jaws a guilty pleasure because Jaws is legitimately a good film. But it's very specific though. I'm not actually particularly interested in, I don't dislike monster movies, but like I don't really care about like crocodile movies or anything. So I don't know whether that necessarily makes it more or less of a guilty pleasure. It's just very myopic. I just like sharks.
Just like sharks.
Just like sharks.
But you have like, you've never sought out a real shark to meet.
No, I mean, now everything feels, in lockdown, everything feels like, why didn't I do that beforehand? Like when
of all the things, why didn't I swim with sharks?
No. Izzy was sending us like, Izzy got really into it. Sending us like clips of people swimming with sharks, like without cages and stuff, and how they're actually just really cute, like fish, catfish. Like, a catfish is an actual thing, isn't it? But I'm comparing the animal, a cat, to fish, shark.
Oh, yeah.
Is a shark a fish?
Yes.
Okay, great. I always get confused between like mammal.
A whale is not a fish.
But I was told that the author or director of Jaws, I can't remember which one, actually really regrets writing the book or making the film because of the reputation it's given sharks.
Yeah.
Do you think like our fear of them has actually caused damage to the shark population in the real world?
That's so heavy.
I know. That's how I was saying it. I was like,
I could see that. I was like, is she? Yep, she's going for it. Yeah. There you go. Biggest question in the world.
I think you're completely right. I definitely read that. I think it was Peter Benchley, the guy who wrote the novel. I think you're right. I think that's almost certainly the case because there was this enormous, because it also, Jaws like entirely redefined the summer blockbuster model, and therefore more people saw that movie than like would ever have seen a shark movie before. And I think it definitely like it damaged reputation for a very, very long time. I would argue that there's been so many articles about how sharks are actually fine that it's probably coming back the other way. But yeah, that's almost definitely true.
Hey, and on the other side of that is like Free Willy makes the killer whale seem like the soundest fish ever, and they just like brutally kill seals all the time. They're like. I think they're like, I think they're like one of the only other animals apart from human beings that kill animal in like a sport. Kill animal.
I can't keep a straight face.
They kill animals.
I think they kill animals in like a sport way, like for sport or like they talk.
For fun.
I think that's, yeah, like.
Yeah.
Is it penguins they like toss around?
What, whales?
Yeah. It happens in Happy Feet, doesn't it? Oh, God.
I cannot say I've watched Happy Feet in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming in with some 50% facts for this podcast here.
Yeah. I was told there would be no whale reading, but this is good to know.
Yeah, we've gone on a tangent. So how do other people kind of react to your obsession? Like, do you find it's one that's often shared, or do people kind of, are they weirded out by it? Like, what's that kind of reaction?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's very odd. Me and my girlfriend and our friends, we have this theory that there's like a shark member of the couple and a non-shark member of the couple. And this is probably just based on our extremely limited group of friends. But in all of like our couple friends, there seems to be one person who's like really into shark movies and the other person is like, fine. And that's borne out by what I know. But then again, I've got like 9 friends, so I wouldn't actually go on the basis of that.
No, this is extremely legitimate. Yeah. My partner is obsessed with sharks.
Wow.
Right? It's definitely a thing.
And like everyone I know, yeah, there's always one that is obsessed with sharks. But I find it with people that are obsessed with sharks, and I'm not putting this on you, but people that are obsessed with shark films often feel like they're the only person obsessed with shark films in the world. Why do you think this is? Is it because they're so universally like considered to be not great apart from Jaws?
I think it's the guilty pleasure thing though, isn't it? You're totally right. Like it's very much sort of like, oh yeah, well, I'm really into this movie in which like Mandy Moore goes in a diving cage, but I'm obviously like, I'm so incredibly strange and like hipster for that. Whereas actually I think you're not that special. Like people like to go and see movies in which people in the water get bitten. I don't think you're special.
You're not special.
I wonder whether it's something to do with like, I'm like very conscious of not making this too psychological, but how like nostalgia's maybe like, I basically went to New York a few years ago with my friend Becky and you know, the flight's long ago. I think we got it when we needed to sleep or something. And we were all just like, oh, just put some trash on like a kid's film. And she put Jaws on to like help her relax into a sleep. And at one point I was looking and she was just sleeping through like a brutal murder by a shark, and I was just like, fuck's sake, Becky, like, and she was just like, yeah, cool, whatever, and I was like, it is, maybe it's because, like, you watch it when you're younger, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's very true, and I think also that it's not quite the same thing, but I feel like making an enormous generalization, shark movies, or, like, good shark movies, are always about the summer, and always about, like, something being, because they all come out in the summer as well, and they're all about, like, expectations, and, like, like it's almost like the kind of the main thing that horror movies on some level are always about, like people being like excited about a holiday or excited about a new house or excited about like a cabin in the woods, and then something happens. And I think that that's why like shark movies sort of encapsulate so much of what people like about horror movies, full stop, anyway, which is like something coming up from underneath to ruin the thing you were excited about. And I don't necessarily think that's why people like them, but I think that's why people who like horror very, very often like shark movies.
I also think there must be something about it that is kind of that detachment from reality, because realistically, you're not going to get attacked by a shark in your life.
No.
And I feel like, especially over lockdown, you know, I tried the whole like watch Contagion thing.
Oh God.
It wasn't even just that. It was like, even when I found myself watching normal things of people like going to parties, I'd feel freaked out that people were that close to each other.
Mm.
So you kind of do need something that is fully detached from anything you could experience to be able to immerse yourself in it during this unprecedented time, I suppose.
No, I think that's really true. And also, it's just, they're so enjoyable just on the basis of like, so people like, again, I hate to keep harping on about Jaws when there are so many great shark movies, but like people are like, Jaws is about, people have claimed it's like about Watergate or like about the bomb or about like queer invasion or about masculinity or whatever. And all of that is completely legitimate, but also a shark movie can just be about a shark. And I think that it can be just very enjoyable just on that basic level as something, you're right, that you will never experience. And it's so easy to just enjoy it on that level too.
Yeah, it's like you can find meaning in whatever you want to find meaning from, if you get me. Mm-hmm. I think that is a totally valid thing to do.
And do you think your like consumption of them is a bit different in lock, like in this time? Basically, I watched I really like Jim Jarmusch films because they're like so slow, and sometimes I just watch them and I'm like, ugh. And I watched one in lockdown and I was like, no, this is just too much like real life now. Like, yeah. I just was like, oh God, it's not even like painfully slow, it's like painfully normal.
This is so true. I find we've been watching so much like enjoyable trash in lockdown. We watched Con Air the other day, we watched Face Off, and all of this stuff which is just so heightened and insane and fast and stupid, because I can't watch gritty realism at the moment. It would just, it's too much, it's completely too much.
So would you ever bring sharks into your work?
Oh yes, I already have. I wrote a story which was published in Granta I think last year about basking sharks and two girls who are in love with each other. And I have written a lot about, like, I like writing about the sea and I like writing about underwater and things like that. So it's a preoccupation that definitely keeps coming back in the things that I write.
Yeah, I did think that about that. It was last year, so I can't remember the name of the story, but the one that's based on water, that's like terrifying.
Yeah, that's so yeah, I really enjoyed that, just because I find it bizarrely so easy to write in an ocean setting. It's the kind of description that I love to do, and the kind of specificity I love in just like naming things and knowing what things are and what would actually be in this like made up area of the water. And I really enjoy it.
Have you spent a lot of time by the sea, or like?
Not really. No, I don't. Maybe that's why I like it. No. I used to go to Cornwall a lot when I was a child, and that was always kind of my favorite thing. And it's always that thing as well where like, I've never been to Martha's Vineyard where Jaws is set, but at the same time, you kind of read that onto your own experiences of the sea wherever you've been. So like Cornwall for me was always that. It was always the same thing in my mind. And I love the sea there.
Yeah, I feel like I have a weird relationship with the beach because I grew up in Brighton. So I don't really like it that much. Like everyone's always weirded out when they're like, oh my God, it must have been amazing. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. It was fine. Like I don't miss the sea at all. I don't know why.
That's so true though, don't you always like romanticize the thing that you're not really that familiar with, don't you? Like I've always been in sort of London area, and so I'm like, oh, the ocean.
Yeah. Like so whimsical and gorgeous, and then you get to Brighton Beach, it's just like full of piss.
Exactly.
As soon as we, like now I'm like, whoa, sharks, there's so much shark references. Do you remember that advert? I was definitely in primary school because I remember playing football with someone and they were singing it as we were like tackling each other. Somehow managed to bring this back to football, don't know how. But that song, and it had that song True Colours on it, and it was like two kids that were swimming and I think like one got bit by a shark.
What? And on an advert? Like what was it an advert for?
I'm like, was it an advert? Part of me feels like it definitely wasn't, but it feels like it could have been an Enrique Iglesias music video. You know, you're just like,
what, for True Colours? I don't think you like, sang that song.
It was just, no, it's just like, it's similar to that, you know, the one where he dies at the end.
No, I'm not familiar.
The music video. Am I like... the one where I can be your hero.
Right.
He's like on the floor in the rain at the end. It's a similar, but anyway, kids are surfing. I think a girl's maybe it's a very hetero advert. Yeah. A girl's like, there's a shark coming. The little boy like goes, no. And then you think maybe like something bad happened. And then at the end, they're together and he like takes his top off and he's got like a big shark bite.
And they're children. Like, how old are they?
Like 9, but then they're grown ups at the end. I think it's like a love story. Maybe it was for like a male.
Olivia, have you made this up?
It was a thing at the time that basically a boy saves a girl from a shark, and then at the end they're together, and he's grown up very handsome with a shark bite.
I'm going to look this up. So
Yeah, what was your point with this, Olivia?
There's obviously nowhere to go with it because no one's seen it bar me. Do you know what I mean? I just wonder whether you were like, yeah, it made me like really think this, and this in my childhood, but
no,
I'm afraid.
Didn't feel a thing.
The only adverts from being a kid that I remember having water in was the Sainsbury's one with tubular bells over the top of it, and it was just like waves.
I don't remember that. You don't remember like the Jean-Paul Gaultier adverts? They were very water-based.
No. I just don't have that consumerist, you know, chip in my head that's making me remember all these.
Well, it obviously wasn't a good advert because I can remember the song and the action but not the product.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. I reckon you've made this up. I'm going to look it up away.
I 100% it was to True Colours.
I'm going to Google it now. I'm literally Googling it now. True Colours shark attack abra. Well, it's...
You're just going to get videos of like real shark attacks and they're playing True Colours over the top.
Oh. Yeah, they're gone.
I think I found it, you know.
Oh,
can you... Yeah, oh my God, I found it!
Yeah! Can put it in the chat. Obviously, I'll cut this bit out or whatever.
I haven't found the video, but it's a Peugeot. It's for Peugeot.
Peugeot!
Yeah, it's a great advert where a young boy swims in front of a girl to protect her from a shark at the beginning of the ad. As part of the ad, we also see a guy give his shoes to a homeless man and also a huge guy stroking a kitten. At the end, Olivia, have you written this?
Kept out the best bits there by the sounds of it.
That's not a thing.
I can't, but wait. Oh, someone's putting the advert. Someone sent the advert.
Oh my God, let's hope. This has gone so mad and it's just pouring down with rain.
Oh
outside.
No, video unavailable. Damn it. Oh. We'll never know. Wait. Peugeot 406 advert. True
Colours.
All right, I think I found it. Maybe. Let's see. It might not be the right one because it doesn't really.
Can you share your screen?
Yeah,
this
well,
is getting
well,
a bit mad now. Can only apologise, do you?
Okay, yeah, it's the right one. I how present now.
This is so I can't believe this is happening. But at the same time I completely can.
I'm delighted.
Let's do
oh my God.
Full screen.
This is sharp.
Oh, this is really great quality.
Me, like, I definitely need a Peugeot after this.
We get the idea. It's a great advert, and everyone wants a Peugeot now.
Just bought it back. I want to see the shark bite bit. Oh, there he is. Wow.
Oh,
there
he is.
Oh, my Ooh. God.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. A shark.
Wow, I can't believe they ended up together. That should be a film in and of itself.
Wow.
I'm really glad we dig that up from your memory vault.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that in years. I can remember so vividly the lad, Mark Bannister, who I ended up moving in with at university, playing football with me, singing that song when we were in primary school, being like, and I see your truth. And I was just like trying to get the ball off him or whatever.
All right, back on track. So, Julia, if someone has never seen a shark film, aside from Jaws, what would your three recommendations be and why?
Okay. It's not actually a great film, but Deep Blue Sea is so good because it's basically, it's one of those ones when it's like, oh, we went too far with science, because they've been experimenting on sharks to like try and cure Alzheimer's disease. And so they've made them super smart.
Oh my God. Wow.
And I don't know why they thought that making sharks super smart would be a great idea, but it progresses as you would expect from that. And maybe everybody I've ever met says it's terrible, and it is terrible. But The Meg, starring Jason Statham, who has the same birthday as me, important information, it's just everything you want from a terrible, terrible blockbuster about a really, really giant prehistoric shark. There is nothing interesting it is doing with the genre whatsoever, but it's just so stupid, and I love it. And also maybe The Shallows, which is the Blake Lively one, which is really good and very, very tense, actually. And maybe 47 Meters Down. But I have not watched Sharknado, so who knows whether
my throw the whole list off.
That was so great.
That was so great.
I had this like great desire from like a production perspective of layering the advert music over the podcast, but I realized that the podcast would just get taken down for copyright, so sorry about that. But
oh yeah, maybe we can put a link to it in
oh yeah,
the episode notes. I forgot to ask you before the interview, what is your obsession this week?
Honestly, right, my friend's mum was outside in the courtyard, so I popped my head out. Hiya, how are you? And we were just talking about books, and she said, like, I've been rereading books now that I read 10 years ago, and I'm reading them totally differently.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that's so interesting. But more so is that I've really gone mad for Arlo Parks.
Mm.
And I'd heard her music before, but now for some reason I'm like, oh, this is exactly what I want to listen to. And I'm just kind of, I'm obsessed with how stuff's just right at the right time.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
What's yours, babe?
My new bed.
Yeah!
And that's that on that. I don't know if I have anything interesting to chat about this week. Oh, last night we did our like agony aunt session on the Dollhouse with Angel Rose, which was about putting your beliefs into your creative work, whether it's your moral beliefs, political beliefs, even spiritual beliefs. And I just thought it was a really, really great talk. It's basically like going to a uni course that you actually enjoy and learn stuff from. So we recorded it, and it'll be up on the Dollhouse as like a YouTube watch soon. But like, there was so much conversation about, yeah, like different ways of being political in your work. But then also if you can even be political when like the art industry is like obviously corrupt and like capitalism and like the like complete institution. So like how much you can work against the institution while also trying to make your way within it and stuff. Just top-notch content.
Yeah, top-notch. Also, almost to the point where being political in a capitalist, in which everything is capitalist, but if you're political under capitalism, then you're just part of the capitalist ideal of like furthering capitalism.
Well, yeah, there were, she put a Grayson Perry quote in the talk, which I know he's trash as well, but so I think I like his writing, but yeah, his recent comments about COVID were awful, but it was like, it was something like, the more you rebel, the more like capitalist you can, like the more the art world can use you, basically. Like the more you try to rebel, the more they'll love you. But yeah.
Yeah, that's heavy, that, isn't it?
But yeah, next week we will be back with Sleepover Club, where you can hear more of our musings on capitalism and its failings and its trappings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Ione.
Thank you to my cat Nancy, who's been purring on my lap for this whole recording. So sorry if you can hear him, but also it's a gift. thank you to Julia again for joining us. And thank you to Gina and Gina and Carlin and Clarissa and Jacob and Charlotte and Hattie and Camille. We'll see you next week.
See you next week, babes.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.